As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Welcome back to The Fan. Lori Rubinson here with you. Here we are, April 20th here in New York City, and Mets and Yankees both in first place, both playing some good baseball, both win today. The Mets, a 4-game sweep of the Cardinals, and to talk about it, we bring in Dave Lennon, baseball columnist for Newsday. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Hey, Lori, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, and we can go, we'll do a little Yankees and Mets, but wanted to start, I thought I heard your voice out there at Citi Field in the postgame reporter scrum, and
right.
Wanted to start today with Juan Soto, and wondering what you've been thinking watching him and his adjustment to New York, and then how he sounded or may have sounded or looked post game today, as opposed to maybe over the last couple of weeks.
You're right. That was my voice. I was out at Citi Field today on Easter covering the matinee. But listen, you know, Soto's been under so much scrutiny, really, from, you know, the minute he signed the contract here, actually before he signed the contract with the Mets. You know, he's been under the microscope last season with the Yankees as well. And I think for the first few weeks here with the Mets, you know, everybody was, you know, I don't think it's crazy to say that he really hadn't been performing as people thought Juan Soto would.
Right.
You know, once he got here, because the expectations had been built up so high. And I think because of that, you could see it. I think you could see it wear on Soto a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, having been around him, I wasn't around him all the time on the road, except for the opening series in Houston. But when I did see him back here in New York, I thought, you know, on days that he wasn't really producing or he wasn't getting a couple of hits, it just seemed like, it's not to say he's unhappy. He just maybe didn't look as comfortable, you know, certainly didn't look as comfortable in the batter's box. And if you would see him after the game, you know, I think there was some disappointment because to a degree, he wasn't chipping in as he probably felt he should be. So I think that changed some in the past few days. Today, I noticed a pretty big difference in him. He went 2-for-3 today. Get a walk, sacrifice fly, a 2-run double. And you saw a little more levity to him in the clubhouse afterwards. He did speak in front of the camera, which is something he hadn't done a lot lately. Not every player does after the games. Today, certainly, he was a focal point. And I just think today gave him a little chance to exhale. And talking to him afterwards, he even admitted, you know, that he thought he found something on Saturday, that he really kind of got his A swing back. And I think people who watched the game today saw him hit that two-run double. That was really vintage Juan Soto. You know, that was taking a slider on the outside of the part of the plate and really just ripping it to the opposite field and into the left center gap, you know, short hopping the wall. And I think that's the Juan Soto that people are used to seeing. And he really kind of felt like himself, I think, after that hit.
What did Carlos Mendoza say about Soto? Because I also saw that in the post game. It seems to be that maybe also just driving the ball the other way or trying to hit the ball the other way as opposed to pulling. And it just has looked to my eyes early in the season that which I wasn't accustomed to with Juan Soto, that instead of just trying to hit line drives, it looked like he was trying to hit home runs. And
he just
looked a little different at some point earlier in the season.
I agree with that. I mean, from the times that I had seen him, and again, I haven't seen his every at-bat, but without knowing the official stats off the top of my head, it certainly did look to me like we saw kind of a chasing Juan Soto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy that doesn't go outside the strike zone for pitches, and I think that's something that we did see quite a bit since the season began with the Mets. I think we saw it on opening day when he chased that slider in the other dugout when he struck out to end the game in the ninth inning. He's human like everybody else, mm-hmm. and I feel like, and I think he would even admit that he was just trying to do something to kind of be that guy, and he was having trouble forcing the issue. Maybe pitchers were sensing that, and they were getting him to chase a lot more. I think in the past couple of days, you've seen him settle down a little bit. He's always been taking walks. That's something he has been doing, but now I think he's really kind of got back into the strike zone, looking for pitches that he can do damage on, and I think that's what we're seeing more of now.
Were you surprised when Mets fans actually did give him that standing ovation a few games ago when he had been struggling, and it was before he comes up and ends up actually getting an RBI base hit? And let's be honest, in your time, it's many years now covering baseball in New York fans are not always the positive, the booing can definitely happen in this market. Were you surprised at that proactive standing ovation?
I mean, whether or not Soto was going to be booed at Citi Field when he got back from this recent road trip was a story. You know, people were wondering what was going to happen. I mean, were his numbers horrible? No. But fans have expectations, and Soto hadn't been meeting them. So I was there Thursday, and the story watching that game was listening to the fans. You know, were they booing him that night? In my opinion, and they're listening, I think there was a lot of disgruntled kind of murmuring after he made outs. I think that's the best way I would describe it on that Thursday. And people were trying to be supportive. There were a lot of "Let's go Soto" chants when he was at the plate, but they kind of fizzled out into he wasn't booed. I've heard people booed here in New York, and that did not meet the minimum requirements of that. I've heard Judge booed pretty loudly in the Bronx. So Gerrit Cole being booed in the Bronx. So it doesn't just happen in Queens. So
but yeah, when you've heard, well, last year famously at one point, Steve Cohen, Mets owner Steve Cohen, had asked Mets fans to cheer Lindor, and then they did,
right.
And he turned it around. But even like Francisco Lindor, I mean, you've certainly heard him booed more than you've heard Soto, right?
Sure. I mean, yeah. And then when it came around this time, I wasn't at the game on Friday night, but again, there was the curiosity there. And when the fans did do that, it wasn't unprecedented because they did it to Lindor last year when Cohen had kind of got on the fans to do it. So it wasn't unprecedented, but I was curious if it would happen that time around. And the fans did do that. You know, he rewarded them with that RBI single that tied the game Friday night. And he didn't speak to reporters Friday and Saturday. I spoke to him after Thursday's game some. But today was really the first time that he was asked about that kind of preemptive applause that he got. And he said it meant a lot. You know, he realized that he was kind of pressing. And for the fans to kind of, instead of getting on him, to just be supportive, you know, I think actually did mean something to him. He said that he got a kind of an adrenaline rush from it. And as you can see, you know, he's had a few hits since then and he's felt better. Like I said, it feels like an exhale moment for him. And I think we could see a period right now where Juan Soto, you know, becomes Juan Soto again.
In talking to Soto, or even in talking around to people around the Mets, was there regret from Soto or surprise that he made that comment to Mike Puma from the Post about being pitched differently because he doesn't have the best hitter in the world hitting behind him? Obviously, the implication being, you know, he doesn't have Aaron Judge hitting behind him. It felt like that was an excuse he was making. And right now, Pete Alonso is doing his best Aaron Judge impersonation.
Sure.
And so if there's anything to call out, and probably if there's a player who is going to let it slide off his back on the Mets, it probably is Pete. But how was that comment received in the Mets clubhouse, and any reaction that you could tell, like behind the scenes, from anybody to that?
I think kind of the official stance from the Mets, and a couple of players talked about it in the past couple of days, is that Soto was just kind of being honest about it. You know, I mean, he wasn't wrong. You know, nothing he said was false. You know, nobody is Aaron Judge, and having that behind him, you know, he said did make a difference, and I'm sure it did. You know, when you have the best player on the planet hitting behind you, that is going to change the dynamics of what you see at the plate as well. So I don't think the guys held it against them. I think for us reading those comments, we certainly thought they were, you know, something he probably shouldn't have said, because they just don't come off great for a number of reasons. For one, like you mentioned, it could be construed as a knock against Pete. I certainly don't think he meant it that way. And I think that's how people in the clubhouse felt too. But yeah, that type of thing, you have to kind of realize where you're at. You kind of have to realize the Mets-Yankees dynamic at play there. And you have to kind of realize where you're at offensively at the moment. But I do really think he was just kind of speaking his mind and being honest about it. And everybody who reads those comments or looks at it tends to put their own spin on it just from where they're coming from. You know, Yankees fans were like, see, you blew it. You could have stayed here. And now you're complaining about it. You know, Mets fans were like, oh man, you're dissing Pete. You know, Pete's having a great year. So I think it really mattered what side of the fence you were on, depending on how you interpreted those comments. But I don't think it really did any type of relationship damage in the clubhouse. I think guys just kind of took it for what it was. You know, a guy just observing how he's been pitched this year and how it's been different, you know, since he doesn't have Judge behind him anymore.
In the next few days, Jeff McNeil will come off of the injured list and come back to the Mets, and they'll have to make some decisions about the roster. What role would you envision that Luis Angel Acuña will have with the Mets when McNeil gets back? I'm going to assume that they have a decision to make, and whether that means Brett Beatty or Zocar or somebody goes down, at this point I can't imagine it's Acuña. But how do you envision them, the Mets, making a decision on the roster and also on role?
Well, I mean, when push comes to shove between that group, I mean, Zocar is certainly a guy that can send down immediately, you know, depending on the dynamics of what they want to do. I mean, if you're asking me to choose between Brett Beatty and Acuña, I think the Mets are the best version of their team having Acuña on the roster and not Beatty. I think the athleticism and the speed and the flexibility with Acuña best serves them. Beatty is limited in what he can do. I know they've been using him at second base. I don't really think that's the best fit for sure in what they want to do. So, but they have to look at it also. if Acuña isn't going to get the playing time, you know, does it make more sense to send him down? You know, Beatty doesn't really have much else to prove down to AAA, and maybe they can still use him. I don't really like the idea of using McNeil in center field. I think that's kind of a stretch.
Is it pushing it to say, I'm not saying all the time Tyrone Taylor will be the most days center fielder, but what about, you know, we've heard a little that Acuna, potentially they're asking him to try out, get some reps in center field. If you were using Acuna between second and center, and, you know, maybe then there's every once in a while start at third or something like that, thoughts there?
Yeah, that's also a possibility too. I mean, he plays that position as well. So I think they're just going to have to see how the guys, I think it's just going to come down to the wire. I mean, Alvarez and McNeil are both coming up to be evaluated at Citi Field tomorrow.
So they could be back as soon as tomorrow for that Philly series.
I don't think so. I mean, okay. Mendoza was kind of hedging it.
All right.
Because he was asked numerous times today. So they're just coming to be checked out. They're going right back again. And he was like, well, that's the plan. So I do think that will happen with Alvarez. I think Alvarez still needs that back. And I think we've talked about how he was still, you know, working on his swing down in spring training. And I think the Mets would like him to get more at-bats down there. So I could see him 100% going back. McNeil could be a little touchier situation. They're both supposedly fine medically. So we'll see. Of the two, I think McNeil would be the one that has a better chance of being activated. So I'm not sure I totally believe Mendoza when he said they're just coming to be checked out, but we'll see. It's going to be interesting. I don't know for sure how they're going to go roster-wise. I think they have a couple things to talk about and analyze, but I like what Acuna brings to the table. You know, we saw it again today. You know, he kind of turned an infield hit into a double just because of his speed. I mean, it was a muffed play by the Cardinals, but he still can make things happen that way. He started to hit some. You know, we've seen the value he has running the bases as a pinch runner too. So I think he brings a lot of value to the roster and gives them the best chance to win based on the options that we talked about.
And then just in general about the Mets pitching staff, coming into the season, I thought that the starting rotation was going to be the question mark, and especially with all the injuries. At this point, you know, okay, we're 22 games in, but the Mets have the best starters ERA in baseball. At this point, do we just shrug our shoulders and say, in David Stearns, we trust?
Well, certainly for the first month. And he does have the track record from last year, too. But I think we're still dealing in small sample sizes here. I think Clay Holmes, and he even mentioned it today after the game, if you saw the post game, as well as he's pitched, he still admitted that he's still kind of getting through the feeling of going from reliever to starter. He's still trying to get used to the physical taxation of it, you know, still getting used to the conditioning part, still getting used to stretching himself out. So, you know, the early returns are good for everybody across the board, you know, and don't forget, they're going to get Sean Manaea back here, hopefully for them before too long. So that's a pretty big reinforcement. But for the starters, you know, this is a long-term thing. You know, they're doing as great as they possibly could through these first few weeks of the season. But you have to build a rotation for 6 months and potentially seven. So we have to see how these guys continue to perform. There's no reason to think they can't, but so far, what Stearns has put together is a rotation that has some good flexibility, looks like it's going to have some depth, and they've unlocked some things into some pitchers here. You know, Griffin Canning comes to mind, certainly, as guys they found the strengths to really turn them into, if not all-star pitchers, then certainly guys that can win at this level.
Talking to Dave Lennon from Newsday about the Mets and now with the Yankees. Dave, the Yankees 14-8, they're in first place. The American League may not be as strong as it's been in years past, but the Yankees are where we expect them to be, in first place, 22 games in. And they, in fairness to Brian Cashman,
why is there so much screaming going on over there?
Well, in fairness to Cashman, I'll say, like, I thought that the lineup would be more of a problem. Third base, no DH. What about left field? You know, will he hit and all this stuff? And meanwhile, all they do is, you know, they're a machine there. On the plus side, so, hey, they're in first place. And then, you know, on the plus side, Max Fried seems to be, you know, everything they could have asked for. And, you know, just curious from when you've observed him from spring training to now into the season, what stands out to you getting a chance to watch Max Fried more regularly up close?
Just kind of an ultimate pro. I mean, we already knew he was a very good pitcher, Cy Young caliber pitcher, as long as he stayed healthy. I mean, there were some times in Atlanta, obviously he was getting banged up and not, you know, completing season. So that was the big question coming over here. As long as he stayed healthy, this is the guy we thought he could be. And there was really no transition for him. He fit in from day one down in spring training, and coming up here and pitching in front of, you know, Yankee Stadium fans, or pitching with the pressure of wearing a Yankee uniform, hasn't fazed him at all. So he's been exactly what they needed and what they thought they were getting when they signed him. And that's even become ultra important, obviously, based on the injuries the Yankees have had so far. He's really, you know, he's become the Gerrit Cole substitute. And you can only wonder, you know, what this rotation could be if they did, in fact, have Gerrit Cole perfectly fine. And also they had Louis Heel from the beginning. To stick a guy like Max Fried in that group with those guys healthy too is really talking about a shutdown rotation. Instead, what you're getting is a guy who's really helping you through and taking over for a Cy Young winner in Cole and keeping this rotation afloat. I mean, he's really been the only constant among all these guys right now.
Yeah, he's been better than expectation, better than advertised. And then the flip side of it, of course, in new additions, Devin Williams at closer obviously blows the game yesterday. And just curious what you think of Williams from what you've seen, both on the field but also the post-game reaction. Is this something where it's just going to take a while for a player to settle in, or is this something where you've seen players who just never acclimate to New York?
This surprised me to some degree. I mean, we knew there was going to be potential red flags coming in only because we had seen his volatility in Milwaukee. I mean, this is a guy that punched a wall out of frustration at one point. And he was coming from small market Milwaukee to New York, coming off the Pete Alonso home run that ended his season last year. So there were red flags, but I always thought that this guy was so good and so dominant with this unhittable pitch, you know, in the airbender changeup, that would be enough, you know, to get him through. I mean, the Yankees even ironed out a potential issue in spring training by dropping their beard policy, because this was the guy that was one of the guys most upset by it. So you really thought that they were doing everything they could to smooth the transition for him. And it's really come down to, Lori, is he can't throw his signature pitch where he wants to throw it. Mm-hmm. It's really not any more complicated than that. This nasty pitch, this top pitch in the major leagues, that's the ultimate weapon. He can't control it. And there's been a lot of speculation about why he hasn't been able to do it early in the season. Is it cold? He's a slow starter. Still getting used to the routine here, a new team. You would think that his signature pitch, he would be able to figure this out. I still think it's something he'll be able to do. Yesterday's blown save, to a degree, there was some bad luck there. I mean, there was some soft contact. There was a bad throw. You know, the walk is inexcusable for a closer. That's always going to get you in trouble. But even the times where he has saved games, Lori, we've seen him come out and walk the first batter, walk the second batter. And that's just a recipe for disaster. and you saw it just blow up in his face yesterday down in Tampa. Yeah.
All right. We'll see. We'll see what, if he acclimates or not, if he figures out the changeup or not. Dave Lennon from Newsday. Always appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
My pleasure, Lori. Thanks again. Have a great night.
All righty. 888-808-1019. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.